your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
From the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBonato.com, here on KVOE, live and local. Braden Brown over there, he's going to get the dials already. Man, we're getting this kid whipped into shape, Tim Miller.
Pretty quick.
I like that. Yeah, I think we need to go down maybe even a little bit more, Braden, as I listen on my headset here. So we got a great show coming up for you here today as we will get you set up for another winter sports preview today. We'll be joined by Sean Russell. He is the head girls wrestling coach at Emporia High. That'll be coming up in just a couple of minutes. We've also got Jason Graff. He is the athletic director at Meridazine Valley. He'll be joining us today and talking about some really good success for MDCV. Boy, what a tremendous volleyball season they had, and they got a first round bye in the six-man football playoff. So, you know, no disrespect to the other sports, but when your volleyball team and your football team are really good, that's a pretty good fall sports season for
your
school.
Not bad at all.
So, yeah, they'll take that. Braden, how are you doing today?
So far, so good. Just, you know, a great Saturday morning.
That it is, and not, you know, a little cloudy, and it's going to be hopefully a good day. We'll see how things go for the area teams in action. Emporia State, the ladies making their home debut. I do want to tell people in Emporia, hey, I hope that you get out. I hope that you do what you did on Wednesday, because that home atmosphere and environment for that Emporia State men's basketball game might have been, except for the Central Oklahoma game 2 years ago with Coach Doty here, that Central Oklahoma men's game, that game was phenomenal. Outside of that game, that may have been the best home atmosphere that I've seen for an Emporia State basketball game since I've been here. The students were great. They were all dressed up. They had their pajamas on, and it was PJ night. Don't sleep on us, quote unquote. And, you know, the dance team, Stingers, the cheer team, the band, obviously, was phenomenal. The crowd, it didn't just the regular crowd. I mean, you had your chairback fans there, and people took advantage of the free GA seating. It was a great atmosphere. I'm so glad that the guys came back. Now, Coach Billiter was not happy about them needing to come back. But it was just an awesome atmosphere. I hope there were several student teams there. The Lady Hornets were one of them. Now, the Lady Hornet softball team was way up in the rafters. They kind of like to do their own thing, but that's okay. But the Lady Hornet basketball team was there, courtside. They were about four rows up, I think. And so I hope that you guys will give them that same welcome that you did the men, because it was an awesome atmosphere. The men had a amazing run to get back into the game. Fell short, obviously, but I think that there's going to be a lot of games like that this season, and I think the girls are going to want to give S&T a little something. That was not a good game for them last year on the road in Rolla, so hopefully they'll be able to bring that kind of energy, the same kind of performance that they did against Southwest Baptist. But for Coach MJ's home debut, I hope you guys bring that level of energy, because it was awesome on Wednesday.
Well, as we all know, a white auditorium, when it's rocking, is one of the best home environments around.
And, yes.
And it's such a friendly confine. I mean, it's a great venue. And, yeah, when the fans are going at it and it's loud and the seats are full, there's no better environment than white auditorium.
There is not. They call it the loudest arena in the MIAA, and I don't have the stats, but I know people that do, and certainly just being out at all these different places, it is absolutely one of the best environments in the MIAA. Well, Braden, Osage City, they gave it a heck of a shot yesterday, but just come up a little bit short to kind of a team that's turned itself into a perennial power in 2A.
For sure, right? It's unfortunate you dig yourself a 15-0 hole. It's really tough to come out from that. The game was actually 15-13 at halftime, so the Indians did a good job trying to get back in the game, and early touchdown in the second half by Nemaha Central was all they needed for the 22-19 win.
So they are knocked out, so we are officially done with high school football. Yes. But congratulations to the Indians making it to sub-state. A fantastic, fantastic result for them in the season here. I do want to remind people that We're going to continue in the basketball season with how we did the coaches, athletes of the week. So you can get a hold of Braden. You can email him. Braden will be taking over the athlete of the week submissions and picking the athletes of the week. You can get a hold of him by calling us here at the station, 342-1400. You can email him. That's KVOE Braden, KVOE B-R-A-Y-D-O-N, because there's a couple different ways to spell Braden. So I feel like I've got to say that Braden, B-R-A-Y-D-O-N.
The only right way to spell Braden.
You're one of those people. Well, like, my sister's Allison. Now, she spells her name A-L-Y-S-O-N. That's how, I guess she spells her name. Like, she had a choice. Or just, My parents spelled her name A-L-Y-S-O-N. And she says that her spelling is correct. But, of course, Allison, there's about a trillion different ways to spell that.
And most of them aren't with a Y.
Most of them are not with a Y. Yeah. But so I'm used to seeing Allison, A-L-Y-S-O-N, and that's how you spell Allison. But for a lot of people,
I've seen it with two L's, I-S-O-N,
yeah, there's
one
an
L.
I. Yes, a lot of it is with an I, it seems like. So you're the only one that's correct. And no, Braden has to have a Y then as well.
Yeah, because if it's not, then how do you make the A make an A sound?
You're right. How would we ever do that in English without a Y to tell us to do it?
Thank you for understanding.
Sure. So we've got KVOE Braden. And, of course, we also encourage you to make your submissions for Athlete of the Week online, kvoe.com/athlete, kvoe.com/athlete. You can send us a picture. You know, write it all up. We want your submissions for area athletes and for Emporia High athletes. That'll get started here, not next week, but the week after that, and we'll again be introducing them on the 750 Sportscast on KVOE and Country 101.7 during the simulcast on the Ron Thomas Show. So we'll have that starting here in a couple of weeks, and we'll also review and redo the announcement on the Monday morning quarterback. So all of that is coming up here. So Sean Russell is coming up today. He'll talk girls wrestling. Jason Graff, the MDCV athletic director, he will also be joining us here today to talk things over, and kind of a weekend where you've got a lot of football teams that are needing to win. I mean, none more desperately than the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, just because of their expectations going into the year. And I don't know if I can actually say that, because KU and Kansas State thought that this was going to be, you know, hey, we're going to make a run. We're going to, you know, Kansas State, we're going to put ourselves in the college football playoff scenario this year. KU thinking, okay, we're going to contend to be in the Big 12 title hunt. I don't know how realistic it was to win the championship for Kansas this year. I think for Kansas State it was, but both teams have not had the year that they wanted. And in Kansas City, you know, you lose this game and you're basically looking at win out. Yep. To get into playoffs at that point.
Every single team that we're covering here that we're talking about, KU, K-State, and the Chiefs are all 5-5.
Yeah.
If K-State has a tough chore today, they go out to Utah. Utah, of course, still in contention to get into the Big 12 championship game. So I would imagine that Kansas State will get everything Utah has. I still think even if K-State loses, they will probably get bowl eligible, because I don't see them losing to Colorado at home. I would be shocked if K-State lost to Colorado in Manhattan. Kansas, on the other hand, they have Iowa State today, and they've had recent good success against the Clones. If KU loses today, I don't think they get into a bowl game, because they get to play Utah then the following week.
Yes.
And then, as you mentioned, the Chiefs, I mean, every game now a playoff game really for them. And it starts tomorrow with the Colts, who are still trying to prove to everyone that they are the best team in the AFC. There's still some doubters. Colts are 8-2, but they've been very good against the AFC West, by the way. 2-0. They've beaten the Broncos and the Chargers both.
Yeah.
So it's critical games upcoming for all of our teams here in the area.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be. Who's your team? Yeah, you're a Patriot. Oh, yeah. Braden's a Patriots guy.
Patriots? Oh, no.
Yeah.
He and Tegan are both Patriots.
Yeah,
fans.
I know. We just, like, we need
another
one.
What about college? Is Illinois?
Yeah, University
Fighting
of
Illinois. Fighting the
Illini? Yeah. More of a basketball guy than a football guy. They we had high expectations. If you want to talk about a team that had sure. high expectations coming into the season, already three losses, got boat raced by Indiana early in the year, and you come
that
back.
Loss is not looking as bad as it did with Indiana number two in the number college two. Football playoff.
It's not bad that you lost that game. It's how you lost the game.
Sure,
right? It was
sure.
60 something to like 13, right? So like you would like to be a lot more competitive in that game
yes.
versus. What ended up happening?
It's still weird to think about Indiana as like, oh, yeah, they're football.
Indiana
power.
Football.
Like, what? Here we are. Yeah, as a KU fan, it makes it a little bit more frustrating for me. Like, oh, well, you can only be great at one or the other. And I guess you can't because Indiana, hey, let's be honest, they're not that good at basketball anymore.
Basketball's taking a turn.
Bobby Knight is not walking through that door.
No.
So well, let's take a time out here. We'll get set with our first interview today. Mitch Holtis is going to be on the way as well to talk about the Chiefs. We'll talk Emporia High Lady Spartan Wrestling and what a season they had last year. We'll recap that and get you set for what hopes to be another historic 2025-26 season here as we'll get him on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line in just a moment. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongBinAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, the Red Tag Savings event is happening now. And that means Red Tag Savings, like up to $8,500 off MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado, 1500 LT Trail Boss Crew Cab, or save thousands with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Or save thousands in interest on a new 2026 Chevy Equinox with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Come see our inventory of top-quality pre-owned models in stock, all Red Tag price too. And let Longbine Service Department keep your vehicle running in safe and tip-top shape for all those holiday fun events and travels too. So why wait for Black Friday? Come in right now and get Red Tag savings today on new Chevy models. Come to Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Prices plus TT&L rebates assigned to dealer.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Virginia Tech football program introduced James Franklin as their new head coach on Wednesday. Franklin was in the middle of his 12th season leading the Penn State program before he was relieved of his duties last month. Overall, Franklin had a 104-45 record during his time with the Nittany Lions. Last year, he led them to a national semifinal appearance in the inaugural 12-team playoff. Prior to his time in Happy Valley, he had the same job at Vanderbilt for 3 years. Now he heads to the ACC and takes over a Virginia Tech program that hasn't won 10 games since 2016.
Been in this profession for over 30 years. All these lessons that I've learned, we're going to pour them into Virginia Tech.
Can't tame the Wildcats. Next on This Week in the NCAA.
You could think you found your dream home online. The kitchen island looks perfect for your inner chef. The backyard, a paradise for your green thumb. And that extra room, hello walk-in closet. But here's the twist. The lot next door just got rezoned for years of construction. And this sound, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't let your dream home turn into a nightmare. Work with the expertise and ethical training of a realtor, here to guide and help protect you from the surprises you didn't see coming. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, right by you.
Throws it up from midcourt, no good. Final score, Arizona 71, UConn 67. The Wildcats stay unbeaten as they go to 5-0, and they have now beaten Florida, UCLA, and UConn, three ranked teams to open up the season. Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
The great Brian Jeffries on Wildcats Radio 1290 AM with a call as the fourth-ranked Arizona men's basketball team grabbed a road victory at number 3 UConn on Wednesday. The Wildcats are just the third team in AP poll history to have multiple wins over top three opponents in their first five games of the season. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBinAuto.com. We're continuing getting ready for our winter sports at Emporia High. We continue our winter sports preview series. We have previewed basketball the last couple of weeks. Now time to move to the mat as we stay indoors with Sean Russell, the head girls wrestling coach at Emporia High. A historic season last year for the Black and Red as they claimed the first two individual titles in the history of Lady Spartan Wrestling. Coach Russell here on with us here on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Coach, boy, you look back at that, and I know that you've got to move on to this season, but first of all, still want to say congratulations. What a phenomenal year in 2024-25.
Yes, hey, we appreciate the congratulations. You know, it was awesome, and you know, we're looking forward to continue the tradition this year.
Well, when you were going into the season, did you kind of have the idea, like, hey, you know what? Not only can we get one, you know, state championship title, we can win multiple, we can send all these girls to state. Did you have expectations of doing what you did last year going in?
You know, yes and no. You know, we just want them to do their best, try their hardest, and leave everything they have on the mat. We prepare, you know, all year long and during the season to get there, and just peaking at the right time was key last year.
Coach, now that you turn your focus to this season, how happy were you with what the girls did during the off season in preparation for this upcoming year?
You know, we were very happy. Almost all of our returners, they were up here over the summer wrestling. We went to a really tough tournament down in Gardner, Edgerton, called the Summer Scuffle. We got to see the best of the best from not only Kansas, but all the surrounding states in the Midwest.
How was that first week of practice? You had all these returners. I'm sure there's not a whole lot of teaching that has to happen or a whole lot of learning the room with how many girls you have coming back.
Yes, you know, we just got out of it. Their intensity is high. You know, we're going to incorporate some new stuff into what we're already, you know, disciplined at, and hopefully it all comes together.
We're here with Coach Russell. He is the head girls wrestling coach for the Emporia High Lady Spartans. Coach, you look at some of these, you know, wrestlers that you have coming back, especially your state champions, Kinsley Medrano at 120 pounds. You know, there's always a little bit different of a hunger, and she kind of mentioned last year when she talked with Tegan afterwards about how she had lost and she didn't want to feel that feeling again. How do you feel like these two, Alexa Castillo and Kinsley Medrano, how do you feel like they are going to handle that mantle of being the hunted this year with people coming after their state championship? I know it doesn't work that way. You don't get to defend, but they will have a target on their back this year.
Hey, you know, they'll be like the Chiefs. You know, everybody will be going for them and bring in the best that they got. You know, we'll work on mental skills throughout the season, and, you know, we just take it one match at a time. And, you know, no matter what happens, we just keep moving forward and giving our all.
Coach, if I'm not mistaken, Alexis will be changing weight classes this year. How do you see that turning out?
You know, I see it turning out the same way. She's quite the little athlete. You know, she looks lean and mean at 190, and we're very excited to see what happens.
When you look at expectations coming into this year, you and the team ranked fifth in the preseason poll, a lot of girls in the top five rankings. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for the team to just kind of get the recognition around the state that you got one of the best programs in the entire state?
You know, it's nice to be recognized, but, you know, we also kind of like to be the underdog and, you know, come out of nowhere. But with that expectation, we'll live up to it and we'll just give our best and go from there.
We're talking with Sean Russell. He is the head girls wrestling coach for Emporia High. Coach, in terms of the wrestlers that you have, I know Tim will probably ask you about numbers here in a second, but how do you go about and where are you at with practice in terms of your own plan this year for figuring out all your different weight classes and getting all the ladies slotted into the weight class that's going to be best for them and also the weight classes that are going to be best for you as a team?
You know, we'll just evaluate. It's not, you know, as a coaching staff, we are always reevaluating and figuring, you know, sometimes a girl is better at another weight class than she wants to be at, and we just go like that. You know, we'll have our wrestle-offs next Saturday at 2 o'clock at the EHS gym for our challenge matches. It'll be along with the boys, so that day usually determines our starters for, you know, the first week or so.
Coach, I mean, do you like the depth of your team, or do you feel like that you're pretty solid in most, if not all, weight classes, or are there some areas where you do have maybe some concerns?
Well, no, let's see. I think we'll be pretty good at all the weight classes. We'll have somebody in those spots for sure. The depth in a couple of them is more than in some that we would like, but, you know, they all step up. They do as we, you know, we request of them, and, you know, it's just a great team atmosphere.
Coach, we got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. I know I'm going to add a couple of pounds, going through the line a few times. What do you tell the girls to, you know, to be able to watch their weight so they'll be ready for the start of the season for the weight class you need them in?
You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we're just kind of feeling it out, and by January, at the end of December, they'll be down to where they need to be. The first couple meets, you know, usually aren't really an indicator where they're going to be at. We generally know. We don't want them to be miserable, and we want them to enjoy family and the holidays.
Coach, here, as we're talking with Sean Russell, getting set for Emporia High, when do you guys get the season started? When's your first meet so people can come out and check you guys out?
We'll be at our first action will be at home, our home tournament, which is at the Emporia Middle School. I know there's quite a few teams, some really good competition, and we would love to see all the community out to support if we can.
Awesome. What day is that going to be?
Saturday, December 6th.
Saturday, December 6th, and what time?
And it starts at 9 o'clock.
Starts at 9 o'clock. So Saturday, December 6th at 9 o'clock, Emporia Middle School for the Emporia High Girls Wrestling Team with their season opening meet. I guess final question for you here. How do you look at expectations for this year? Certainly you don't want to put too much pressure on the girls, but I know now that you guys have kind of blossomed into a respected program here in 5A, how do you see in terms of where you want this program to continue to grow to?
You know, every year we're chasing the championship, so it's not going to be anything different. We'll evaluate who we're going to have in our regionals and more than likely at state, and we'll gather game plans for that and execute them to the best of our ability.
Sean Russell, head girls wrestling coach for Emporia High on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Once again, their first match is coming up on the 6th, and that will be at the Emporia Middle School gym on December 6th. Coach, have a great season. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thank you guys for your support. We really, really appreciate it.
No problem there, and I know that Taken had a ton of fun down there at Hartman Arena covering the ladies last year and the guys, and certainly no reason to think that it's not going to be out of their grasp to try to repeat and do some of those things again here in 2026.
I don't think there's any doubt.
That go ahead. That will be the expectation.
Yes.
So we'll give it our all, that's for sure.
Sounds good. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah,
you're welcome, Coach Russell, there on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. And, yeah, like I said, Tim, they're going to have the chance to do a lot of the same things that they did in 2025.
Absolutely. No question with what they have returning. Certainly, I think people will certainly be aware now
who
they are. So it's going to be kind of a different atmosphere, I think.
Kinsley Medrano is not going to catch anybody by surprise this year.
No.
Now, if she sings the national anthem, if they didn't hear her last, you'd be like, wow, she's a pretty good singer for a wrestler. Like, yeah, that may catch her by surprise.
That she is.
But
takes after her mother.
Does she? Okay, know that.
Yeah. They're certainly set up for what will be a really good season. It's going to be really fun for fans, for us, obviously, to follow them and see how they do over the course of the season.
Yeah, and I'm assuming from working in Iowa, you guys covered wrestling probably quite a bit. Was wrestling's pretty big in Iowa? Yeah, it's huge in Iowa, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit
for high school.
Yeah. We would be wall to the wall coverage for the state tournament.
Are you guys kind of like are you the Nebraska for volleyball for high school wrestling in the country?
Yeah, I would say exactly like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah, it's not as big in Kansas for sure. I mean, you know, I think Tegan, there's a lot more play-by-play, I think, at the lower classes, but I think we're the only ones to do it at 5A, 6A. Now, there's some media there, so it's not as big in Kansas, definitely, certainly not to the extent that volleyball is in Nebraska or wrestling is in Iowa, but still a big deal, and certainly so proud of the Lady Spartans and Spartans, and hopefully the boys will have a great season too. Speaking of, Brooke Medrano will be on the show next week to finish our winter sports previews, and then we'll be into our normal talking with a basketball coach every week, Evan Burns, Bill Neinstead. Those two head coaches will be coming up as we get into the sports season. Let's take another time out. When we come back, we'll get Jason Graff on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. He is the athletic director at Meredithine Valley High School. You're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBonAuto.com.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, the Red Tag Savings Event is happening now. And that means Red Tag Savings, like up to $8,500 off MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado, 1500 LT Trail Boss Crew Cab, or save thousands with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Or save thousands in interest on a new 2026 Chevy Equinox with APR rates as low as 0% with approved credit. Come see our inventory of top quality pre-owned models in stock, all Red Tag price too. And let Longmont Service Department keep your vehicle running in safe and tip-top shape for all those holiday fun events and travels too. So why wait for Black Friday? Come in right now and get Red Tag savings today on new Chevy models. Come to Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Prices plus TT&L rebates assigned to dealer.
Take the stress out of getting a mortgage. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union guides you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time and stress-free. When it's time to choose a lender, go with Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com to connect today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
I'm Jim Basquiat. Let's tip it off with NBA Cup play. Western Conference leader.
We got less than a minute to go in the game. Denver leads it by two. This could be the first nail in the coffin if Denver scores a bucket here. Murray goes to the left hand. You got to score. Gets down the lane. Leans in. Got it! Yes! Denver leads it 105-101 with 46 seconds to go. Might be the game winner for Jamal Murray.
And it was Altitude Radio Network. Murray, 26. Nikola Jokic, 34. Fell one assist shy of a triple-double as the Nuggets beat the Rockets 112-109. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31 points. Oklahoma City went on a 33-4 run. Defending champs rout the Jazz 144-112. They've lost just one game this season, riding an eight-game winning streak. Nick Claxton, first triple-double of his NBA career. Michael Porter Jr., 33. The Nets win in Boston. Donovan Mitchell, 32. Cleveland, 120-109 over the Pacers. He'd roll the Bulls 143-107. Raptors become the first team to reach the NBA Cup quarterfinals. They topped the Wizards 140-110. Washington's lost 13 straight. Cooper Flagg, 29. Dallas beats New Orleans 118-115. And Colin Gillespie, the go-ahead jumper with 6.4 on the clock. Suns stun the Wolves 114-113, while the Blazers beat the Warriors on the road for the first time since January 1st of 2021. 127-123. To the college game, and Oscar Clough had 15 points, 15 boards. Top-ranked Purdue remained unbeaten, 86-56 over number 15 Texas Tech, while another rank-versus-rank had Richie Saunders hitting 5-3, scoring 26. Ninth-ranked BYU passed 23rd-ranked Wisconsin. That final, 98-70. And from the women's game, AZ Bud 31, UConn takes Michigan.
With Progressive's collision coverage, my family gets up to $1,000 for vet bills if I'm injured in a car accident. And that makes this Chihuahua really feel like part of the family. What's that? I don't sound like a Chihuahua? Oh, I'm sorry. What exactly am I supposed to sound like? I guess all Chihuahuas are high-strung, riding around in expensive designer purses. Actually, I prefer riding in cars. So I appreciate that my family protects me with Progressive's pet collision coverage. Okay, maybe I am a little high-strung. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Coverage for dogs and cats is included with the purchase of collision coverage and is subject to policy terms.
Taxes was feeling unwelcome. Now Taxes is an open door, literally, to new TurboTax stores. Meet our experts in person.
Hi, welcome in.
They're powered by smart tech and ready to do your taxes for you. Get real-time updates while you go about your day, confident your taxes are done right. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. TurboTax store is opening soon. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbinauto.com. As we continue our look around the area, as we talk to area athletic directors, and boy, by the time we got this guy on, Jason Graff, he is the athletic director at Meredosine Valley, as his team's had a great fall. We'll look forward to the spring as well and the winter with him. Jason Graff from MDCV on the line with us at Meredosine Valley. Coach, Jason, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, I'm glad to be on.
Well,
you can call me Coach all you want.
that sounds good. Well, you know, for you guys, to have the fall that you did and to be able to put together the volleyball season like you guys did and go into state. I know the girls wanted to have a different outcome there, but, I mean, you go through the season with, like, three or four losses, whatever you guys ended up with. I mean, what a phenomenal way to start off your season. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that volleyball team and what they did to put themselves in that position?
Yeah, the volleyball team had great success. We were 40-4, went into the state tournament as the one seed. Unfortunately, we had a couple injuries that really hurt us in the last 2 weeks. But we had set our schedule up to try to play some tougher opponents to prepare for the state tournament. And unfortunately, the injury bug hit us at the wrong time.
Well, too, Jason, you had a very competitive football season. I guess just talk more about how the fall went at Meredosine Valley.
The fall was very good. Volleyball success, we hope, will roll into basketball with a big senior class of girls. And then the football season was a successful season. With all that, we lost one of our guys that we had high expectations for right after week one at practice. And so we went the whole year with one of our high output guys. So we feel like we're in a good position to keep moving forward next year. And we have a big junior class of boys. So next year, hopefully, we have the success like the girls did this year.
I know you guys are dealing with a lot of new coaches and some new faces around the school. Can you kind of walk us through some of the new people that are kind of being introduced to the community?
Some of them were already there, and we just promoted. And football, Matt Rills back, stepped up to be our head football coach this year. And a Northern Heights alum, and he did a great job. Kids love him. He's building the program the right way. We're excited. And then obviously volleyball, Miss Melissa Crickey has been our coach for quite some time now, and it's very successful. And then in boys basketball, Thad Thurston's back as a head coach for us. And on the girls' side, Chris Collins is going to be the first-year head coach on the girls' side and his first year as a head coach. So, exciting times.
We're joining.
We also have a new
principal. Oh, no, go ahead.
We have a new principal that's familiar with the league, and Dwayne Ford, who is one of just an amazing man and leader, and it's a great opportunity for us right now.
We're talking with Jason Graff. He is the athletic director at Meredosine Valley, and you mentioned that last name, Crickey, and if people will say, oh, that sounds familiar, it should be familiar because Emily Crickey was named first team All-State in 1A Division II. What's that been like for you guys and for your coach to have a Crickey coaching a Crickey?
Well, if you ask them, it's a beautiful love-hate relationship. but typical mother-daughter, I think Coach Crickey does a phenomenal job of managing Emily and her abilities within the team to make sure that the team is always the best the team can be, not Emily being the best for Emily.
And the best part about that is that she's just a sophomore. There's still two more years left of the Crickies there. So that could be really scary next season.
Well, let's not forget the younger sister, who's a sixth grader.
Wow. Yeah,
let's not forget.
Okay. So, it might have a boss situation over there at MDCV. Who knows?
Hopefully.
Well, Jason, for our listeners, just give us a little more background about you, your history in athletics.
Well, I am in my second year at Meredosine. which I understand for athletic directors is a long-term commitment for magazine. So that's a positive for us too, me and the school. I was the prior to that, I taught a couple years at Colony Crest, and right before that, I was the athletic director, teacher, coach at Yates Center for about eight years or so. But my big background is I spent about 20 years as a college basketball coach and athletic director and so on and so forth as well.
You mentioned the girls' basketball team earlier during this interview. I know really good senior class. They had a tremendous sophomore season, those girls, 2 years ago. So how are they looking as they get ready for their final year of basketball?
Well, they did have a really good sophomore year. That was before I got here. It did continue last year. We just didn't end up at the state tournament. With the new format of the sub-states, it brought some challenges to us, which were good. But we expect big things this year. A lot of senior leadership, like we've talked about. I sat in the gym last night, watched probably 25, 30 minutes of practice, and just with the team in there, it sounded like a game night. There's so much energy and positive, cheering each other on, support. I have big expectations for them. I look forward to the season.
We're talking with the athletic director of Meredithine Valley, Jason Graff. One thing that's going to be coming down the pipe here a little bit is going to be the shot clock in basketball, postseason shot clock beginning in the 2027-28 season for 1A Division 1 and 2, 3A and 2A in the 26-27 season, and this year it'll be 6A, 5A, and 4A for 2025-26. How do you guys and your staff kind of feel about that? We've been told for so many long years that, well, it's something that the City League can do and the Centennial League, but it's not something that, you know, these small schools can do. How do you guys see the shot clock whenever it gets there permanently and for the postseason, certainly a couple years away yet, but how do you guys see that transition?
Well, as a former college basketball coach, it's part of the game, and I think it's a good thing. I do understand the concerns of small school using it, but as the Lyon County League and the Twin Valley League both last year used it, and are two of the more successful leagues in the state in the small school, so I think that we showed it can be done and that it's positive things. We did not have it in our facility last year due to some shipping issues. But we have them up. They're running. We were operating them last night at practice, so we're ready to roll.
Well, final thing here for you. How excited are you about the spring season? Give us a little preview of what's to come for the Trojans this spring at MDCV.
Well, obviously we have the big senior girls class, so I expect big things out of softball. Little coaching change there, assistant. That same Melissa Crickey's moved up to the head coach. But we have a big nucleus of girls that have played a lot, so we ought to have a lot of experience in softball. Baseball, the last year's success will just continue to be built on as those sophomore boys are now junior boys and maturity keeps going. Plus, we have a couple seniors that play baseball, that are great leaders and very talented. And then we have some pretty well-rounded athletes that really will help in the track and field as well. And we look to see more growth there as well.
Jason Graff, the MDCV AD, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck to you and your teams all year long.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys for all you do.
I appreciate Jason Graff coming on, and it's time now for our talk of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis is on the line. He's brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Mitch, how are you on this beautiful Saturday morning?
Well, there's just that's a loaded question. All kinds of things floating around. First of all, I love the way you guys cover the area schools, and just hearing a coach, or is he the AD or the coach?
Athletic director in the context we were talking to, former college coach, but AD we were talking to him.
Yeah, love it, love it. And you didn't bring up the Quinnamo State Championship for them back in
62. No, we didn't.
you know, and just awesome high school football last night. Smith Center, my alma mater, unfortunately lost to Sterling. Sterling's got a good team, but that game was played on the feedlot. The field was just mud, basically. It was old-school NFL films, but there were just some remarkable games. Salinas Central to beat Great Bend was a giant upset, in my opinion, although Central might not think that. Baser-Linwood gets to their first ever state championship ever and beat St. James Academy. And then Olathe Northwest to get there in 6A, and they'll play Manhattan, but they've never been to the state championship. There was just a lot of things going on last night in the state that were pretty cool.
You mentioned some of these classic games, and that kind of leads into my first question here with the Chiefs coming off of a stretch of an NFL record, 17 one-score victories. Now the Chiefs cannot buy a one-score win this year. Patrick Mahomes was asked about this in terms of, well, what's the difference? At the end of the day, I think that as Chiefs fans, maybe we just got complacent or just thought, oh, well, you know, the Chiefs are always the team that figures this out. At the end of the day, Mitch, I think what the truth is that there's just really not a ton of separation between these teams in the NFL. You'll have the great teams like the Chiefs have been this last decade, but at the end of the day, everyone in the NFL is hard. There's just not that much difference between top and bottom. What are your thoughts?
No, it's an excellent point, Blake. And when you look at Denver and what they've been able to do this year, last year they were 1-6 in one-score games, and it's just the opposite this year. I think yes, we can get as fans into a feeling of like, wow, you should blow this team out, and the margin's always much closer in the NFL in every game, even if it's the Jets against the, I don't know, whomever's, that it is very slight. But the other thing I would tell people here, and this is what it pertains, I think, to the 25 Chiefs, is that we always look at the end. We think, you know, the last 2 minutes of a game, well, the Chiefs didn't get this done or that done. I would take you, and I mentioned this last week, actually the last 2 weeks, I've been on this kick, I talked about during the bye week, was there are critical moments in the game that the Chiefs were being able to positively manage or influence last year that they're not this year, meaning in the second quarter, start of third quarter. Nine times out of 10 games, the Chiefs have had a chance for back-to-back. And in the five wins, they've got 7 touchdowns in those 10 possessions. And in the 5 losses, one doesn't count. That's the Chargers. That's the one time they didn't have it. But in the 4 other losses, no touchdowns, 1 field goal, 3 3 and outs, held on downs, and Pat threw the interception last week in the third quarter first possession. That's where a lot of these games are being lost. And I think as fans, we see it as, well, they didn't get it done at the end. There's some of that in the losses, but there's more than that. And it's happening earlier in games when the Chiefs could seize games, take control of games, and they're not getting it done then.
This is basically piggybacking off of Blake's question. Maybe I'm asking you to dig even more into this, but you look at the Chiefs' numbers inside the top 10 in the NFL in yards per game, points per game, defensively inside the top 10 in terms of yards allowed per game and points per game. So how are we sitting here? I mean, because the numbers are really good for this team, but how
sound
do we
like 5-5? Does it?
Yeah, how do we sit here at 5-5?
Well, how did the Yankees lose the 1960 World Series when they had a plus run differential of, I don't know, 22? It's because of the a lot of it, Tim, is the same answer. Meaning, oh, you didn't get the run. I'll give you another baseball analogy. Bases loaded, you didn't get the run home to tie it in the ninth inning. Well, you had that same situation in the fifth and the third, and you're not getting it done. So that's why it becomes more of the critical moments in a game, the critical situations, and it's all three phases. I mean, I look at special teams, and that's going to be my focus of the Houston week on the Minute with Mitch, looking ahead. But we haven't had the explosive return. Last week we allow a 93-yard punt return. We allow a 63-yard punt return, a 23-yard punt return. We top 3 in the league in blocking in the back on kickoff returns. We're top 2 in the league in holding on punt returns. That all adds up, and that leads to points the other team would get that they may not get otherwise, that doesn't necessarily show up in the stats that you had, and those are important stats you've given. And so it's like you're getting it, you're on the honor roll, but you're struggling in school because you skipped out of seminar. I mean, that's what the Chiefs are doing here, and that's where it's got to be tidied up starting tomorrow.
As we take a look at the games around the entire NFL this weekend, my cause, my cleats, will you be wearing different shoes in the booth on Sunday?
Actually, I will, but there's not for a cause. I could put my cause on there. But, yes, I will have some painted shoes from Craig Greco. I saw Craig this week because the players had their cleats lined up, and Craig does a lot of that. I've got actually two pairs of shoes that he's done for me, a touchdown Kansas City, which is actually pretty cool. And then you can doubt, dislike, disrespect the Chiefs on another pair of shoes, but we'll bust them out tomorrow. So good question.
For you, and we're talking with Mitch Holtis, he is on the Sutherland Home Improvement studio line as we get set for the Chiefs and the Colts noon kickoff tomorrow on Country 101.7. In terms of Josh Simmons coming back, and he was asked about the departure, politely declined. I thought he handled it, if we didn't want to talk about it, the best way he could. But one of the big question marks coming in was, how ready would he be? Now that you've got to see him, how ready do you feel like he was, and how much did you feel that offensive line was ready to go?
Well, how about missing class, Blake, for 5 weeks, and then you have to, the first day you're back, you get the hardest test of the semester. That's what this was. And I thought Josh did a really good job. There were gaffes in there and hiccups, and there was with three of the five offensive linemen. But I thought Josh is a difference maker, and his athleticism, his quickness, and he's got some power here. And I'm just learning. You know, I don't know Josh really well. I'm looking forward to getting to know him more as the years go on. And normally I inboard the incoming rookie class or help as an adjunct professor in their classes in the summertime to integrate into our system. And I didn't get to do that this year. So I didn't get to really talk to Josh. But there's a lot to this guy. And if things work out, this is a Pro Bowl left tackle waiting to happen. And he showed glimpses of that against that outstanding defensive front for Denver.
Mitch, as we look at the Colts now, they're 8-2 on the season, but I certainly think a team that's still looking for respect around the National Football League. You look at their schedule, I know they've been maligned somewhat because of the teams that they've beaten, but you look at what they've done against the AFC West, they already have a win over the Denver Broncos, they have a win over the LA Chargers. Your thoughts about the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I'm going to ask all three of you, and you're going to get like just a blanket answer here, just a maybe one sentence or a couple words answer. I'm going to ask all three of you. What
sure.
do you think of them, Tim? Just like 3 seconds, 3, 2, 1. What do you think of the Colts when I say Colts?
Well, first thing that pops to mind, Jonathan Taylor, the run game, great offensive line, and the defense has been better than I thought it would be.
It's too long of an answer, Tim.
Okay. but they're better than that. All right, Blake, go.
Don't believe yet.
Okay. They're better than that. Braden, go.
I think they're fake. I think Danny Dimes is going to turn back into the quarterback we've seen the previous, you know, five, six years.
I'll take Braden on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. my answer to all three of you is the same answer, because my answer was the same on Tuesday night before I started this scuba dive into these guys. And now what I've learned, or what I think, is I'll answer all three of you, and I'll answer to myself. They're better than that. They're better than that. They're better than that. They're better than that. Let me give you something here to think about. They're best in the league in a point differential of 115. They're getting 32.1 points per game. It's the best since Peyton Manning of 04. They're getting 400 yards per game overall. That's the best in the league. This is the Colts. They're averaging 3.2 points per drive. That's the second best of any team in 25 years. They have three players, not named Jonathan Taylor, that have 550 receiving yards. Tyler Warren is a difference maker in this team. He's a baby Kelsey, just like Brock Bowers of the Raiders. They're best in quick strike drives. This is what they – I didn't think this would be the case, but they're the best in scoring fast. They have the fewest three and outs, the best first down productivity. Fourth down, we're excited. We're 16-21. They're 17-21. And Daniel Jones, if you had him on your bingo card at the Lyon County Fair, leading the league in passing, yards, then bingo. But I don't think any of us had that. Now, Jim Taylor's incredible. The stat of the morning is he's got 891 yards after contact. Yards after contact. Only James Cook of Buffalo has more overall rushing yards than Taylor's yards after contact. He's got more yards after contact than anybody else has yards other than James Cook. And the defense is scrappy. They're better. Their pressure rate is eighth in the league at 36.8. So I do think some of it's schedule-driven, but not all of it. And now as I look back on it, I should have recognized when they made the Sauce Gardner trade, didn't you guys think that was expensive? Like, Chris Ballard's a friend. He was with us for 4 years. And his son, Cole, you know, is at KU as a quarterback. But didn't you guys think, wow, two first-round picks?
Yeah.
Were you guys thinking that?
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yep.
But here's the flare that went up that I didn't see. Ballard thinks he can do this. He thinks he can do it this year with this team. They're a legitimate AFC contender. I think the other part of this is the daughter who took over for Jim Irsay, who died, is looking at everybody's homework. Right, she's going to make some big decisions this offseason, and everybody's scrambling to keep their place in class. But it was a bold move, but I think it's a move that Chris Ballard goes, we're better than everybody thinks we are, and we can win the AFC. That's the mentality of the team we're playing tomorrow. And the talent, their special teams, are second in the league. They're fast with their, like, second-line guys. They built a squad here, and better than I thought.
Certainly, at this point in the season, Mitch, we're going to get you out of here on this. When you are 5-5 and needing to make the playoffs, you've got to get in the trenches. You've got to be willing to do the dirty work. You sent us a clip, Braden. Go ahead and roll this. Kareem Hunt on doing the dirty work for Kansas City.
You know, it's a big role. You know, it's something that, you know, they got to have trust in you to do that. So I feel like they put trust in me to be able to, you know, take on that role. So I'm going to find a way to make it happen.
Final thing for you, Mitch. Talk about Kareem Hunt, the dirty work that has to be done for this team, and how he amplifies what the Kansas City Chiefs need to do to get this done over the next few weeks.
Anybody who's a card-carrying member of the Chiefs Kingdom needs to appreciate Kareem Hunt more, including myself. If this season is going to turn, starting tomorrow, Kareem Hunt's going to be a giant part of this. Now, this isn't the Kareem Hunt of 2017, getting 200 all-purpose yards. But it's the Kareem Hunt who's number one in the NFL with 11 third-and-one attempts, and he's made 9. Josh Jacobs has 7. And it's not like we're perfectly blocking all these. All four of us know somebody that can fix anything, right? And it's like, yeah, you're an electrician and a carpenter and a chimney sweep? Like, that's what Kareem Hunt is right now. He totally changed his career, and right now he is extremely valuable to this team. I know rushing the ball, we're not leading the league in rushing, but the winning plays that have not been made in the first, second, third quarters are being made by Kareem Hunt. Maybe a little more Kareem Hunt on 3rd-and-1 at your own 19 or 3rd-and-2 at your own 20. Something to think about. But he's getting it done, and he's getting it done every week.
Mitch Holt is brought to you each week by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS number 424226 joins us each and every week on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Mitch, have a great call. Big game tomorrow. We'll be listening.
Thank you, guys. Braden, did you hear that? Did you hear how good that was? Emporia State Prep, did you hear that?
When other people talk, I zone out, I'll be honest.
Not when it's Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
Of course he did.
The most important ad you ever hear.
Well, right. It's remedial training on the way for Braden.
Learn from the veterans, Braden.
Thank you, Mitch.
Voice.
Mitch Holt does voice the Chiefs here as the Chiefs get set for the Colts tomorrow, and that will be a noon kickoff, 11 a.m. on Country 101.7. So that brings us to our schedule today. It is packed with football and basketball. Iowa State, KU, that'll be at 11 a.m. kickoff, 9:30 pregame here in just 25 minutes. right here on KVOE. Kansas State at Utah. We'll join that just after Emporia State women's basketball. The Lady Hornets taking on S&T. 1:30 tip-off at a 1 o'clock pregame. Michael Dieker has the call on Country 101.7. Boy, I got to get out of here. I got to get up to my game in Kansas City. They're taking on Lincoln at Avila today, 11:30 a.m. pregame on Mix 104.9. NFL Insider tomorrow morning, KVOE at 11:30. Chiefs-Colts at noon, 11 a.m. pregame. And then Sunday Night Football, Bucks and Rams. That will be on KVOE. Chiefs, of course, on your home for Chiefs football, Country 101.7. Good show, guys. Next week, we are going to have, we're efforting Jane Grimley Gunn to recap Lady Hornets soccer next week. And also, we will talk with Coach Medrano, Emporia High Boys Wrestling next week. So that is what's coming up next week on the show. For Braden, for Tim, this is Blake Cripps saying this is KVOE Emporia. We'll rejoin the Infinity Sports Network for about 20 minutes. KU football on the way. I'll talk to you from Kansas City. Have a great rest of your Saturday. Since 18-